Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Church Online. I am so glad that you are here today. I'm joined by my beautiful wife and partner in crime. This is the lovely Mrs. Tina Ingram. And they say behind every great man is a woman rolling their eyes. I'm not a great man, but we definitely have a woman that that's not true. I'm just kidding. Welcome. So we're so glad that you can make it here with us. In case you didn't know, in case this is a reminder that you need, today is Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's.
So also known as Happy Sad Day, Happy Singles Awareness Day. S-A-D.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, I was single for a long time, well into my 30s. And this message is for people that are single, single again. This is really, even though the basic message is about being married, it's about changing your focus and becoming the right person instead of looking and searching for the right person. Right. And let God do the rest.
Right. So we're here today to hopefully give you some things that will help you and encourage you. We know that 2020, the crazy year that we've just walked through, really exposed some major flaws within marriages and relationships. And we're hoping that as we rebuild, as we walk into what this new normal season is going to look like, is that we could add in some healthy biblical principles to every marriage and relationship that would help you to do what maybe you've ignored or the things that 2020 has exposed. Help us to fix those issues and walk into all the great things that God has in store for us. We are by no means the perfect marriage, but we also are very hard workers, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to make this thing work.
That's right.
Each of us has a past, and we have things that we've brought to the table that are difficulties that we've had to work through. But God's really blessed us to hopefully be able to be a blessing to you. 2020 showed us a few things. There were some good things that were exposed, and also some negative things that came out.
Yeah.
Not just with our marriage, but with marriage in general. Domestic abuse went off the charts. So as people were locked down, we've seen some horrifying statistics in that area. But what we also saw, which was crazy, is that divorce hit an all-time low. Divorce is normally 50 to 52%. Divorce rate went down to 14%.
That's good.
Which is, I think it might be a good thing. So either the quarantine either made you fall back in love with each other again, or it made you want to beat the crap out of each other. And so depending on where you are on that scale, we want to help you. We want to be able to speak some things into your life that will bless you and hopefully encourage you to fall back in love again.
That's
and to
right.
work on your marriage and to put some things into practice that will make something better than perhaps what you've had. We want to give you four biblical principles of a healthy marriage. As always, if you like what you're hearing today, make sure that you comment, make sure you hit the like button. But if you really enjoy it, share. Anytime that you share this message on social media, we know that there are marriages in trouble that could use some really good practical biblical tips that will help them. Mm-hmm. Not just pop culture knowledge, not just things that people think are cool or things that you want to try in a relationship, you know, 25 ways to make your marriage better. Let's just give you biblical sound, good doctrine, theology behind wonderful things that will help your marriage to become what God has intended for it to be, and not just what culture says is popular.
That's right.
So the first thing that we want to share with you is, number one, how we treat each other matters to God. And that's a big deal, because we've noticed that at that stage where the honeymoon stage is over, couples start treating each other kind of nasty.
Yeah, bad. And so one thing that we decided when we got married was that we would honor each other publicly, especially publicly. If you have something that you disagree with your spouse on, from disciplining, the way they discipline the kids, or how we spend money, you don't ever call them out in public.
Not on social media.
No,
in front of our friends or parents.
You go behind closed doors and you talk
always
about that, hash it out with each other then. But in public, you build each other up, you love on each other, you let people know how amazing your spouse is. And at the same time, you're letting your spouse know how much you love them, how much you're just think that they're the best in the world, which he is.
That's true. That's definitely. No, we have a saying in our family that we choose love over the laugh. And what we noticed from the very beginning of our marriage is lots of pastors will make a big mistake of using their wife as the butt of jokes in their sermons, using their wife as sermon examples of what not to do while they're making themselves out to be the hero. We just determined that was not going to be the way that we did things. We can have fun with each other, but I'm not going to put this lady out on Front Street or use her as the butt of jokes to get a laugh. I choose my love for her over my ability to get a laugh.
I appreciate that.
That's been a big deal. Ephesians 4 says this, to be completely humble and gentle. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that was, if that would be the word that you would use to describe your relationship and the way that you treat your spouse. Be completely humble and gentle. It says be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So it shows us things to work on with humility, gentleness, patience, being graceful, extending grace, bearing with one another. Those are work things.
Yeah.
Those are things that you have to choose to do. It's hard work to do that, to keep the peace in your home. There's another scripture that says, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. And that really is the mandate, the challenge from God to have peace in our homes is, as far as it depends upon me, we're going to have peace here. I'm going to strive for peace, work for peace by being humble, by being gentle in the way that I treat her, and by honoring the Lord's word and what he's challenging me to do.
Right. Well, one of the things that is probably not easy at all, but is definitely a part of this, of today's culture, is ex-spouses.
Yeah. Everybody has exes.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And so what you need to do is honor the biological parents to the kids.
Yes. For those that don't know, I have two children from a previous marriage. I had a marriage failure. And so walking into relationship with Tina, we just determined that there was things in other people's marriages and their the way that they treat their exes. It was really gross, really bad. And, mm-hmm. and those are things that we had to work through and figure out what do we want for our family? How do we want to treat this other person? Are they the arch enemy? Are they the villain in this story? And we're the good ones. And how damaging would that be to the children?
Right. Well, one of the things, I am a former teacher. I taught for 19 years. And one of the things that you see is families with ex-spouses. But you see a lot of parents using their children as tools against one another, using them to manipulate the other spouse, using them for just horrible things. And it definitely tears the kids down as well as the biological parents. And one of the things I loved and really respected about Tim, really even before we got serious, was the fact that he never ever talked bad about his ex-wife. Never, not ever. And never talked bad about her to the kids, but he never talked bad about her to me either. And and we've been really blessed. I love his ex-wife. She's wonderful. And we've been really blessed with that relationship. But we also know that there are a lot of people that struggle with this. But one thing that you need to make sure that you do is to honor the biological parents to the kids. Don't run them down. Don't run them down to the kids.
Yeah. Ultimately, the hope is that God would redeem that,
yes.
That person, that God would restore them. And even if they're completely wrong and you're completely right, it doesn't help you to run them down to their children. Ultimately, when God redeems and restores that person, you don't want them to have to undo all the damage that you've done, adding
yeah.
your judgmental attitude and your decisions to those children. It does a lot more damage than what you think. In your effort to be right and to become the hero of the story, you're doing damage to your children.
Yeah.
And we've seen that to be a major problem that the Bible deals with, about how we not only just treat each other, but how we treat our exes. And so here's the second thing we want to share with you, that second biblical principle for a healthy marriage, and that's simply this, that love is a choice. It's not a feeling. Not necessarily a feeling. It's a choice that we make.
That is so true. In Colossians 3:14, it says, "And over all these virtues, put on love." And that, I mean, that's a choice.
Something that you have to put on.
It on. Yeah. That's right. Which binds them all together in perfect unity. Feelings during the dating stage, they don't last. They're not supposed to last. But you choose to love beyond your feelings, and you choose the word of the Lord, which stands forever. And that is, every day you put on love.
Absolutely. We've found in our own marriages, or in our own marriages, that love has to become a choice. What we say here at High Ridge Longview is that love is a choice, and choices lead, feelings follow.
That's right.
And so if you're constantly led by what you feel, then your choices are going to line up with that. But if your choices lead the way, and if your choices are towards what God wants, if you're making biblical choices based upon the truth of God's word, your feelings will line up with that. And you'll find that it's a much better, more healthy perspective. It's better for you in the long run to rely upon the choice that you made. You know, the marriage vows that you take, and all the pomp and circumstance and the glitz and glamour of the marriage day, those vows aren't for that day. The vows that you take are for the days where you don't feel like it.
That's right.
When you say in sickness and in health, you know, it's like, well, at that point, we're pretty healthy. But what about when a spouse gets sick? What about when it's the for poorer part of the for richer for poor? What about when things aren't rosy? What about when we don't feel like it? When you have the morning breath? When you've gained 15 pounds? When she's had three kids? When whatever situation that life brings at you, that's when the vows are for. So you make a choice to honor your word and to honor the word that the Lord has given you. We say, get a word before you get a wife. Let the word of Christ dwell within you. The scripture says, dwell within you richly, deeply. Let it produce something in you before you're ever looking at taking on someone else. And then you hold fast to that word that God has put inside of your heart for the times where it's not easy.
That's right. When we were dating, we actually had been dating for about a month and a half, probably 6 weeks or so. And we took 3 days apart and prayed and fasted to figure out whether this was really God's will or not, because we wanted a word from the Lord before we went any further. And God gave us a word, and it was the same word while we were apart from each other, which is amazing and awesome. But that word is what you stand on when the times get tough.
When life comes at you.
Yeah.
And life will come at you. Life is going to test the vows that you made. It's going to test the choices that you make. But when they're based upon the truth of God's word, then you have something as a sure foundation to stand on. Here's the third biblical principle we want to give you, the third of four, and that's this: love and bills both need paying. So, and there's a big correlation between your money and your marriage.
That's right. In Romans 13:8, it says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law."
I say it this way: money problems create marriage problems. And the Bible is very clear. It says, "Let no debt remain outstanding," which means you need to be able to work together to get out of debt. The debt that you should have is the debt that we owe one another to love them. We have to work together to solve both of those, our marriage problems and our money problems. Money is so closely related to our hearts that when the heart goes bad, the marriage and money both reap the consequences. So we found that we have to work together to put our financial goals as underneath the authority of Christ. And when we're working together to put our money underneath what the Lord says is right, then that creates a much healthier marriage for us. A lot of issues in marriages are revolving around money. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is very clear that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And when your money and your marriage are both in disarray, we've got some major issues there that it's going to be hard for a lot of couples to work around. Thankfully, God's word has a lot to say about both of those.
Well, definitely marriage is never 50-50.
No, that's a myth.
No, it is 100% and 100%. Yeah. It's never give and take. It's give and give. You have to put your spouse before yourself. You always have to be willing to go that extra mile to show your spouse that you are putting on love for them.
And it's not necessarily always just about money, but it's also in your intimacy and in your sex life.
Yeah, we don't ever, ever, ever use sex as a weapon.
Or a reward.
I can't say that word.
It's okay.
Or a reward. It's definitely something that you always give when it's needed and when it's asked.
You don't earn that.
Yeah.
It's not something, and we've seen this in a lot of unhealthy marriages, and something that we had determined from the very beginning was not going to be how we operated as a family, that we use sex as, well, you've earned this, so I'm going to give this to you, or you didn't live up to my expectations, so I'm withholding from you. And we found that to be very demonic and very evil. So it's not a reward and it's not a weapon, but it's something that we use to make sure that we're continuing our intimacy together. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we understand that this is God's gift to us. And our answer to each other when it comes to intimacy things, our answer is always yes, as much or as little as the person wants it. As long as it's not immoral, unethical, or unbiblical, painful, the answer is yes. Whatever you want, as much as what you want. My answer is always yes. So we don't create this atmosphere of, have I done enough?
Right, or rejection. You don't feel like you're having to earn your spouse's love. That spouse is always given, and you don't feel like they're rejecting you. You don't feel like at the end of the day, am I going to walk into a situation where I'm loved, or is this one of the days where they're not going to want to be around me and they're not going to want it? It's not that way.
No.
So it's really important that you never, ever use sex as a weapon or a reward.
The fourth biblical principle for a healthy marriage is simply this, that we schedule connection points. Life is going to come at you fast. Life gets moving fast. Tina and I are both incredibly busy. We lead a church here that has a lot of moving parts, and it takes a lot of our time. Coming to the place where we're about to be empty nesters, and we're walking through this major move of God and the purpose that God has for our lives, life gets crazy. And it's filled with good things. But if we don't schedule times to connect with each other, then we're headed down a slippery slope. We'll start isolating, pulling ourselves apart, and not making time for that first ministry that God has given to me. Long before I'm called to be a pastor, I'm called to be a husband to this woman. And I have to make sure that I schedule time for those things, or else what God has called me to do will very quickly become something that I've manipulated and used it, or let it manipulate me and use me to become something completely different. And I end up in failure as just another pastor that has abandoned his marriage on the altar of ministry.
Well, he definitely does not do that. It's in Genesis 2:24. It says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh.
Yeah.
So united means to cleave, to cling to, and to hold fast.
To hold fast.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
It's
difficult for us to understand how important that word is, but you got to get away from mom and daddy. You got to get away from your friends. You got to get away from your job and make sure that you are holding fast to your first ministry, this spouse relationship that God has, that is taken very seriously when you took a vow to him.
Well, when you're scheduling connection times, connection points, one thing to remember is everybody goes through the lean times, the times with when you don't have a lot of money. Yeah. And that really can't be an excuse. It just can't.
So, yeah, lots of couples will say, well, it must be nice to schedule date nights and time to get away on vacations, but we don't have the money to do that. But we found that that's not an excuse.
No.
We've had moments where we did date nights on the back porch.
Yeah.
Found some firewood and built a little fire and grabbed a couple glasses of water and waited for Jesus to turn it to wine and had our date night.
That's right. Or we've gone on a lot of walks during the quarantine, especially. We started that, and that's one of our favorite things now.
We cook together.
We love to cook together. So there are things that you can do where it's just you two, one-on-one, and you're connecting with each other and learning what the other likes. And let me just tell you this great story. I love Downton Abbey, and talked about the movie forever before it came out. I was really, really excited about it. And my husband, he's not a huge fan of the romantic movies.
To say the least.
Especially the period pieces where they wear the high collars and the big dress. That's not his thing.
Unless there's a lot of people dying, and then I can stomach it.
But there was this one night that we were going on one of our date nights, and I didn't know where we were going, and he just surprised. He said, well, I have a little surprise for you. I thought we could go see a movie. And I was like, okay, cool. We love watching movies together. So I was like, okay, which one? And he was like, well, I was thinking maybe Downton Abbey. What? I thought that was, I was shocked. It was a wonderful surprise.
She said, what did you do wrong? No, that's not true.
No, it was wonderful. And he actually didn't hate it. He didn't hate it, but
the best 2-hour nap I've ever had. No, that's not true. It's important that it's not just about what I want, but making sure that I'm putting in the effort to give her what she wants. And that, you know, like we said, it's not 50-50, it's 100-100.
Yeah.
And so it's learning to bear with one another in gentleness and with respect, with humility. Learning to consider another person's needs above myself. And I can't be expected to do that for a church and not be doing that for my spouse. It's learning to dwell with her gently. That's a big thing. Isolation, you know, working things, doing things like you want, and just becoming two ships that pass in the night of, you know, we're both busy. We've all got all these excuses of why we can't really connect. That's a big deal. As I said it this way, isolation starts us down the slippery slope to sexual compromise. And this is where pastors make huge mistakes. This is where men make huge mistakes. Women make huge mistakes.
Yeah.
It's because they start isolating, not scheduling connection points. And then they find people that will fill that void, and people to give them the intimacy issues that they're craving. And that can't happen to us. We've had to make sure that we're divorce proofing our marriage. I know what it's like to walk through a divorce and to walk through that pain and to see the pain carry out into my own children. And so we've had to work very hard to make sure that we're scheduling connection points so that we're not isolated.
Yeah.
There are some horrible things that happen to great biblical characters when they begin to isolate.
That's right. David is a good example. He was alone on the rooftop when he saw Bathsheba. Samson, he rejected the advice of his parents.
Got out from underneath his spiritual authority. Yeah. He got out from his people and from the mandate that God had put upon his life.
And
all that isolation ended up costing him his future and his destiny.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, Joseph even, he didn't actually do anything wrong. He was just going about his normal daily routine, but he was alone with Potiphar's wife, and that cost him, you know,
prison time.
Yeah,
just the accusation.
A lot of time.
That's a big deal. And so learning how to avoid the isolation or withdrawing or putting myself into compromising positions, those things are all taken care of if I just schedule connection points with my wife.
Yeah.
Because instead of being alone with somebody else, I'm with her.
Yeah.
And she's with me. And that's a big deal. We have things that we've done, not just scheduling date nights, but once a year we schedule our marriage retreat.
Yes.
And this is 2 days that we spend getting to know each other, reconnecting. And we do this once a year without fail. We've done this many, many years now. And what does that look like on a practical level for couples that have never heard about a marriage retreat, just us?
Okay, well, you go, you pick somewhere. It doesn't have to be far, but it does need to be away if you can do it with no kids around. And the first day, you find something that you like to do together.
You have fun.
Yeah. If you're outdoorsy people, you can go camping, go fishing.
If you're indoorsy like us, you find a place where you can go people watch and judge people.
It's so true. And
ooh, baby shouldn't be wearing that. Look at her. Look at that.
And then at night, you go out to a nice dinner and you have a good time. And then the next day, you get down to business. You have your notebook and your Bible. And then we have the questions
that we ask each other.
Yeah.
You can check those out online. We have those available for you if you want.
Yes, they're at highridgelv.com/marriage. And they're kind of intense, but it helps you work through so many things in your marriage. You go from talking about your love for each other, your love for the Lord, how you feel like you're serving, your finances, how you feel like you're giving, your kids, how you feel about your kids, whether they need lots of help, where you need to help them, the dreams that you have for your kids, the dreams you have for each other. It's a lot.
You have no idea how many arguments this is going to save you by simply getting
so
together,
many.
Getting on the same page, and coming to a pre-made decision of where we are and where we're going, so that you can go back later on in life or later on throughout that year and be like, hey, we made a decision here, and we decided that this is what's best for our family.
Yeah.
And learning how to connect with each other, to be intimate together, to spend time alone, to get away from the busyness and schedule in 2 days, once a year, that's not too much to ask. We save up a little bit of money. We go stay at a hotel. It can be someplace close. And we make sure that we get through as many of these questions as possible and get on the same page so that we're not spending the whole entire year spinning our wheels and wondering what the other person is thinking or why we're not together on this or we're not making any real headway in our marriage or getting on with our life. It's part of building a marriage on purpose.
Right.
And that's a big deal for people that are walking through some tough times where you feel like you're not connecting. Let's get you on the same page.
Right.
We want to help you to be able to do that, especially after you've come through a year like 2020. Another thing is to get into a group.
Yes, that is so important, to find healthy couples that you can be friends with.
Those that can invest into you.
Yeah, those kind of friends that can pull you to the side when they see that things are don't seem to be going too well and ask you what's going on.
Yeah, or, having healthy couples around you is critical.
Yeah.
Because we're not doing life alone. We're
right.
able to stand the gap for each other. And I think there's a big mistake of us waiting for somebody to invite us to do those things.
Like, yes.
You got to take charge of this. If your marriage is important to you, if this is something that you feel like God is leading you to do, then, hey, you go up and make the connection with people that you see their marriages are healthy. And like, hey, what group are you guys in? Let's get in a group together.
That's right. It's so important. So important to have people that you can speak into their lives honestly, and they can speak into yours. So, so important.
Well, those are four biblically powerful truths that I think any marriage can use that will help you to take your relationship to the next level. And whether you're single or single again, whether you've been divorced and hurt like I was, if you're single for a long time like Tina was, God has something powerful in store for you as we take our life from just finding the right person to becoming the right person. God wants
That's
to do great
right.
things for you. I want to close this out in prayer and want to just remind you of the goodness of God. And whether you've been hurt before or whether your marriage is in real trouble, whether your marriage is great, it's better than it's ever been, we can all use a little bit of shot in the arm and making this thing even better.
Yes.
Let's work at the right things to make sure that that the issues that we're facing are yesterday's issues, and we're walking into a new season. Let me pray for you as we close. Father, I thank you for my wife, and I thank you for the ministry that you called us to lead here. I thank you for every single person that is listening to this message today. I know that you have a plan and a purpose for them. Lord, I pray for the marriages that are in trouble. Lord, I pray for each and every one of them to come to a knowledge of you that would revolutionize and change where they're headed, yes, Lord, into where you want for them.
Yes.
And I pray that the children, Lord, the exes, all the people that are surrounding us, Father, I pray that each of those would take a back seat towards the authority of your word and toward what we can be. Would you bless each and every person within the sound of my voice in Jesus' name? Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Once again, if you like this, click that like button, comment, let us know what you thought. If you really enjoyed it, click the share button. That means a lot to us. Share this with people that you know could use a little bit of biblically healthy relationship goals and statuses that would help us to become all that God has called us to be. Thank you so much for your generosity and for your support. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an amazing Valentine's Day.
Bye.